I was with you last week with the guys from Ireland singing. It was great. We came here before we went there. But there you go. Interesting, isn't it? When you're encouraged to give a testimony like... Oh, sorry, I've forgotten your name. Sandra, yeah. When Sandra gave that testimony, how apt it is. So the text I'm going to be, or what I'm going to be encouraging us all to do this evening is seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he may be near, while he is near, for he will abundantly pardon. Now that's good news, isn't it? You know, like that's good news at the start of our salvation story. But what's really been on my heart while I've been preparing this is that this is not a once-only thing. You don't just call on the name of the Lord. Those that call on the name of the Lord and go on calling on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those that put their hand up in a meeting, maybe walked an aisle, that's no assurance of salvation. Evidence that you are being saved, or that you were saved, is that you are being saved. And so I want you to seek the Lord tonight in your heart and just say, okay, Lord, what is it that's stopping me from coming to you? And the word that came to me, and I was talking to my wife about this, and is the word's impediments. Do you know what impedimenta are? It's stuff, things. Quite often belongings, it gets used, it's the same word that we translate as belongings, stuff that we have. Impediments, you know, so when people ask if they're going to get married and they say, does anyone know of any lawful impediment? That's anything that's stopping this from taking place, do you see? Anything, so during this evening, this is my heart, that you ask the Lord, and maybe when you go away in the quiet, you know, time, maybe during the week, that you seek the Lord. What is it, Lord, that's blocking me from coming into more and more, to know you more, to seek you? What is it that's blocking me? That's been the challenge on my heart. Now, this is another challenge to me. I was listening to a message by a chap called Paul Washer, and he was saying that if theology is not beautiful, it is not biblical. So if your idea of who God is, your theology is not beautiful, it is not biblical. And so I wanted to try and give you a little bit of a picture of who is it that we are seeking. You know, who is this God? You know, so he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he has made everything, he's created everything, he holds everything together. Everything is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. He's indescribable. We cannot describe him. You think of all the best things that you could ever see. You see the beauty, of a newborn child, or of a sunset, or the most magnificent vista. And it just doesn't come anywhere near to the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy to be worshipped for his sake, for who he is. Yes, we can sing about what he's done for me, but really, even if he sent me where I deserve to go, which is eternal hell and punishment, he would still be worthy and still be beautiful and still be worthy of all the praise and worship and honour and glory. And yet we don't do that. We come to him casually. We come to him, you know, he's like some sort of mate. You know, he's almighty. He's not almighty. He's almighty God. And we should worship him for who he is. Let's just check in our hearts and say, Lord, what is it about? Because there's so many things that block us from seeing him as he is. And I just want to read this passage, and this is from Revelation. And this guy, John, I love this passage. He grew up with Jesus. He saw him all through his life. He saw him through his ministry. He saw him glorified, and yet he still didn't get him. He still, when he saw the risen Christ, and this was the picture of him seeing it in Revelation. So then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. He can come in if you want. The hairs on his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And how did he, what happened when he saw him? This is the one who is new. This is the disciple that Jesus loved, that laid on his chest. And when he saw him, he fell on his face as if dead. He fell at his feet as if dead. But, listen, this is good news, isn't it? But, I'm glad there's a but there. But, he laid his right hand on him, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you've seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this." And he goes on to write all the rest of the book of Revelation that says that things are going to get worse. And then they'll get worse, and then Jesus will come back. So that is good news as well. And last time I was here, I spoke about the threefold ruin in Genesis and threefold redemption in Revelation there, you know, and we will spend our eternity with him. So the passage, that isn't the passage I wanted to actually speak on, so where I want to go to is Isaiah. So if you want to have a look at that, Isaiah 55. You want to turn to that. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version, which I quite like. You know. So Isaiah 55. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'm going to go back to the bit that we're going to look at a bit more carefully. "Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labour for that which is not satisfied? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear to me, come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast and sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, you shall be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, And instead of the thorn shall come up cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. There is so much good news, isn't there, for those that seek the Lord, isn't there? Isn't there good news in there? So what does seek mean? That's my first point. I'm going to try and stick to my 3 points. It'll be a mini miracle if I do, but what does it mean to seek him? So I tried to describe a bit of who he is, how wonderful he is. And why would you not want to seek a God like that? You know, well, there's quite a lot of reasons, unfortunately. They're all to do with our sin-sick, prideful, fallen nature. That's it. But what does it mean to seek? So this is what I looked up in the dictionary. It means to follow, to pursue, to search for, to worship, to diligently inquire. That's not just a little put your hand up in a meeting thing, is it? That is a lifelong, eternity-long, in fact, thing. We will, at the end of time, still be finding out who God is and how beautiful he is. And in fact, we will need to be sort of supernaturally strengthened in order to cope with the wonderfulness of being in his presence. You know, look at what happened to him. The only way he could stand was because Almighty God put his hand down on him and lifted him up. He had no strength to stand in the presence of Almighty God. We were singing a song the other day at church, and it was like, I wonder what I'll do when I see him. Will I stand? Will I jump for joy? And I'm like, well, I know. I'm ready. It says I'll be on my face. And unless he stands me on my feet again, I will not stand in his presence. It's all by his grace. And if you've got any other picture of God, then I'm afraid it's not the God of the Bible. And you need to ask him to show you who he is. And ask him to go on seeking him, seek him for who he is. So to call out to him, to call on him, that's the only way to be saved. And what are we saved from? Are we saved from our mistakes? Are we saved? What are we saved from? We're saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from Almighty God's wrath that he poured out onto his Son. He drunk the cup. On the cross, he said, what was the cup? What was in the cup? Almighty God's wrath. Now, it says that if you do not follow him and do not seek him, then and your body, your life is not starting to line up with what he said, then the wrath of God remains upon you. The wrath of God remains upon you, and you should be properly scared. There's certain things, they're one thing, in fact, that you should be properly scared of. And that's the wrath of Almighty God. Now, so when we realise what we are saved from, then what are we saved to? We're saved to sonship. How can that be that Almighty God would not only raise me back up from on my face, but he would put a cloak upon me and put a ring on my finger and throw a party and say, you're my son. You're my son. And we get to share in his inheritance, it says, provided we suffer with him, then in order that we may also be glorified with him. That's Romans 8, that's what it says. So there is a if and a but, isn't there? There's if we're willing to be suffered with him, then we also will be glorified with him. That's what it says. That's Romans 8. You have a look. That's what it says. So we're saved from our sin. Look at verse 7 here. Look, what's it say? Is it verse 7? Yeah, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So can a good man, you know, be saved? No. Do you see? A good man can't be saved. He's already good. Only the unrighteous can be saved. So that's good news. Why is it that the people in prisons love the gospel? Why is it? Because they know. They know that they've done wrong. You know, and they're not righteous. They are unrighteous men. They know that, and they love this. This is good news because they can be saved. They can call on the name of the Lord, and they will be saved as long as they keep calling on Him. So, from our sins. So, if you are a good man, a man full and watered, and then you cannot be saved, you cannot be filled with Almighty God, if you're so full of self and so full of your good works and what you've done, do you see? You cannot be saved. It's a physical impossibility. I've got this glass here. It's actually got a gap in the top. But if you can imagine that glass fall right to the brim and I come to you and say, fill that glass, there's a problem, isn't there? Can any more fit in the glass? If that's full to the brim. If you're so full of yourself, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. So if you're full of your goodness and your self-righteousness and your whatever, then you cannot be saved. So it says, though, and this is Matthew 5, it says, these are the qualifications for being saved and being blessed. You blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And what are the promises to those people? Those weak and broken people. You know, what's his name? Gandhi said that he would become a Christian if he ever met one. And I kind of get that, because he read that and said, you know, like, there's nobody like that, so there aren't any Christians, you know. But it's when you realise that that you need God, then you're blessed. He has to break you first. And then so what's the promises to those people? It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. How can we live light here? How can we live giving everything away and as if it just doesn't matter? How can we live so different from our neighbours that are just trying to get more things, more impediments? Yeah. How can we do that? Because we believe this to be true. We believe that we will inherit everything. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, in the coming kingdom, not now, but in the future, so we can live life light here. And he says, for they will be comforted, for they shall inherit the earth, for they shall be satisfied, for they shall receive mercy, for they shall see God. They'll see Him. We will see Him face to face. We'll see Him. And even now we can start to see Him. Start to catch glimpses of who He is. Maybe even see Him in the righteous acts, in those loving acts of fellow brothers and sisters as they seek to lay down their lives for one another. Yeah? See that. A little glimpse of who He is. And they shall be called the sons of God. You shall be called the sons of God. So that's why you're blessed. Do you see? And yet what do we say? I'm blessed. Why? Because I've got a new job. I've got a new house. I've just got married or I've just got engaged and I'm blessed. And don't get me wrong, there is something to celebrate there. I'm not saying that. And God knows that we need houses. He knows that, you know, that He brings us in these wonderful relationships with wives. And, you know, that is a blessing, yes. But it says that these people are blessed because they realise their need for God. And it said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. This is from Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward in heaven, he says. But we want it all, and we want it here, and we want it now, don't we? You know, and that's what this sort of prosperity stuff's about, isn't it? It's all just, you get your best life now. Well, Paul said, if this is it, then we are of all men fools. That's what he said. He said, as Christians, and he had it all going for him, didn't he? Before he became a Christian, it was going great for Paul. He was like next in line, probably new next high priest. He was, you know, he had this great job. He had future. He had lots of friends. It was all just going great for him. What happened when he became a Christian? He went blind. That was just the start. But he saw Jesus. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was, do you see, was that his best life now? Was that it? No. He had a future plan, a future glory. And he was living life for that. He was living life like this, just didn't matter. He was living life for then. Are we willing to do that? Risk all for him. Risk all for his glory. You're all sitting there, you're all quiet. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to me. Am I willing to do this? Really, am I? And whilst I've been preparing this, I've been asking myself that question. Am I really? Am I willing to do this? Am I willing to seek him? So what is it that stops us seeking him? What is it that stops us coming to him? Now, I would suggest it's self. There's three main enemies, isn't there? The world, the flesh and the devil. But mostly it's ourselves. We get in the way. And that's our culture. You know, we're culturally conditioned to say, you're worthy of a house, you're worthy of a good, you know, friendships, you're worthy of all this stuff. And that stops us coming. Now, I have had the honour to go and see a dying saint this week, a guy called Len Slater. He's going to be in glory probably before the end of the week. He's been dying these last 3 years. He's 82. And this was his testimony to me. So he's lying there, tubes in his mouth, you know, all that, the full 9 yards, he's in hospital. And he's going, Chris, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I've come to know the Lord in these last 3 years of illness like I've never known him. The sweetness of his presence he's been so sweet to me. I'm ready to go. I've made my peace with Almighty God, and I'm ready to meet him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. Yeah, he's ready. He's ready to go. He's lying there. You know, he's got nothing. He hasn't got his health. He hasn't got his wealth. He hasn't got anything. He's just a frail old man in a bed. Son of the Most High God, ready to meet his dad in glory, even tonight, who knows? How humbling is that, guys? Isn't that humbling? Best years of my life, closeness to the Lord, lived 82 years, and these are the best. These are the best, the sweetest that he's ever known. And he's walked with the Lord year in, year out. You know, he's been married 60 years. It'll be 60 years. It would be if he gets to live till November, but I don't think he'll make it. Great, eh? What a testimony. Fantastic. So what is it that stops us? Our impediments, our pride, our lack of vision for who God is. You know, we just don't see him as being beautiful. And so we seek after the shiny shinies, all them bright and baubles, don't we? You know, the stuff. the impediments, the stuff that gets in our way. And we're told to do what? To throw them away and run the race, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, he despised the cross, despising the shame. And therefore, where is he seated? He's seated on the right hand of the Lord on high. So when you get distracted this week by the shiny shinies, and you will, and by your small, compact view, culturally conditioned, skewed view of who God is, ask him. Wise men still seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be wise this week. Let's seek him. Whilst he may be found, there will be a time that, like when Noah's flood came, there will be a time when God shuts the door. And there will be no more time to seek him. And we don't know. We don't know when that day will be. We just don't know. You know, we've just had that testimony for our sister there where she said, you know, he's been called away. We don't know. We don't know how long we've got. We've got to live ready, like Lenny's. It's taken him 82 years to get ready. Let's try and be ready. Let's be ready to meet the King. Let's throw away all the rubbish. Let's ask him, Lord, show me. What is it that's blocking me coming to you? What is it that's holding me back? What is it in my life? You know, my pride. Somebody said, so often we, you know, you shouldn't ask God to show you what your pride is, but just show him where it's manifesting itself today. You know, how is my pride getting in my way today? The pride's a given. It will be with us till we die. You know, so how's it getting in the way today in your life? How is it getting in my way of coming before Almighty God? The Bible says that we should... the Gentiles seek after all these things, you know, all this stuff. And your Heavenly Father, he knows that you need stuff. You know, he knows you need clothes. He knows you need somewhere to live, you know, food to eat. He knows that. But he says we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things will be added. They'll just be given. You'll get, maybe you won't get the nice shiny car. Maybe you'll just get something that just works. But you'll be given what you need, not necessarily what you want. If you're asking for a wife, or if you've got a wife, you'll be given a wife that's just bad enough and just good enough. Because how is it that we get changed into God's image? It's by people rubbing alongside us. It's by God showing us who we are. When you come into a marriage relationship, it's so close that you cannot hide who you are from that person. And so quite often people will say, I don't like that picture of who I am, and so they try and shoot the messenger. But men and women, when they come together and they get that reflection of who they are, you've got a choice. You can either say, Lord, change me. Make me more gracious, make me more loving, make me more peace-loving, make me more like yourself. Or we can say, that's wrong. It's the wrong picture. You know, if you want to know what's wrong with you and what's wrong with every relationship you've got, it's your own sin-sick nature. That's it. It's it. If you can't get on with somebody, it's your own sin-sick nature. It's my own sin-sick nature. That's why we can't love them. Because Christ's thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. We either condone sin, don't we? Like what's been going on in the news a lot just recently. Or we condemn it. What does Christ do? He doesn't condemn it or condone it. He died for it. He came to seek sinners. He came to seek you and me, sin-sick people, and he comes And as we fall on our face to worship him for being who he is, he puts his hand upon us and he raises us up. This is gospel. This is good news. Isn't it good news? I'm pleased. So, what's stopping you from seeking him? What is it that's getting between you and him? So the only way that we will find him was when we are poor in spirit. When we come in him to in humility, when we call out to him, then we will find him. That's a fantastic promise. He has promised we will find him. When you call out to him, if you keep calling out to him, he will be found. That's good news, isn't it? Wise men, wise women are still seeking Almighty God. My prayer is this week that you will seek him. When you come together corporately, when you're alone in your workplace, when you're working, wherever you are, working, building walls or, you know, chasing sheep, whatever it is that you find yourself doing, that you will seek him this week. He will be found by them that diligently seek after him. He will be found. And he is worthy of seeking after. He's worthy of leaving all the baubles behind and seeking after him.